This is Dr. Max D. Younts, pastor of the Heritage Baptist Bible Church of Walnut Grove, Minnesota. This is our Bible class, and we are glad that you could join with us today. We hope that you will get your Bible out and be ready to follow along. We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us again at the same time each week, and we count it our privilege to have you follow along in our Bible studies as we continue now in this great book of Revelation. As we're turning over here now to Revelation chapter 6, as we continue our Bible study here concerning the four horsemen, and we're coming up here to verse 9 now and continuing there. While you're turning in your Bibles over there and following along, we'd like again to remind those, if you've never written us, we'd love to hear from you. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. And we've had some write and say they've had to wait a while that we didn't announce our mailing address and where they could reach us, and so we'll put that in periodically. But again, we want to thank those that have taken time to write and let us know that you appreciate the broadcast, and that the thing that I believe that encourages us more than anything is the fact that when we get letters and say, you know, this has stimulated us, your radio broadcast has stimulated us to start studying the Bible for ourselves, and that we no longer just go to church and listen to a sermonette. We get our Bibles out, we've been reading it at home, and it's making sense, and we're enjoying and know that we can understand the Bible for ourselves, and that's exactly what God wants you to do. Because all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, correction, instruction into righteousness, and never get the idea you cannot understand the Bible. God wouldn't write something you could not understand. No, it's written, and so that you can understand it. And one of the best translations is the King James Translation, the closest we have to the originals, and it is an excellent translation and the most easy to be understood. We're over here to Revelation chapter 6 now as we continue in our Bible study here in this great chapter here concerning God's judgment here up on the earth. Now, if you'll notice here, we have had the four horsemen come out. We have found out here in the first seal that we have had false Christ. And if you recall now, this parallels Matthew chapter 24. And in Matthew chapter 24, in verse 5, we have the same thing here where the Word of God tells us here, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Remember the book of Daniel and Matthew chapter 24 and other places, but these are two of the most prominent, go along with the book of Revelation, and are speaking of the same time after the rapture, the seven-year tribulation period. But he says again in verse 5, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." How will you know the difference? I remember years ago, Dr. Harry Arnsides, one of the great Bible expositors here many years ago, and a man came into his office, and his secretary said, "Dr. Arnsides, there's a man outside would like to see you." And he says he is Christ. He is Jesus Christ. Then Dr. Arnsides said, "Well, send him in, please." And the man went in. He said, "Dr. Arnsides, I'd like to introduce myself. I am Jesus Christ, the Messiah." And Dr. Arnsides said, "Let me see your hands, sir." And he held his hands out. And he said, "Where are the nail prints?" And he said, "Let me see your feet." Well, there were no nail prints there. "Let me see your side," because there should have been a tremendous wound with the sword going into the side. He said, "No, sir, you are an imposter. I have no more time for you. You're not accepting Jesus Christ. You've become your own Christ." But you're finding in these last days here more false cults and religions are springing up than you can count. You just can't even keep up with them. Years ago, I used to keep files on every one. I would write their headquarters and get their material and so forth, compare it with the Bible, and then have it documented that when we say something on the radio, it is documented. I have the written material from their headquarters in my file so that we're able to back up what we say a cult religion says. We don't just pull it off of the top of our head. But you know what? There are so many today that you cannot, it would take a full-time preacher just full-time trying to keep up with all the false cults and the false religions. So I guess the best thing to do is just preach the Bible. And God gave you a mind, He gave you a discernment, and He gave you His Word, the Word of God, so that you can check and see what any man claiming to be a preacher or a church claiming to be a church, you compare their teaching with the Word of God, and therefore God has given you good sense to make that decision for yourself. But if we go on down to the second seal now, you'll notice in the book of Revelation chapter 6, we have wars. That parallels what's spoken of in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 6 and 7. Notice what it says, "You shall hear wars and rumors of wars, and see that you be not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places," or various places. The fourth seal of Revelation parallels the same thing. And then we come down here now to verse 9, where we begin to get here the fifth seal. "And these things have not yet taken place to the intensity as they have previously." Now we're talking about God's judgment upon the earth. Now in the fifth seal, I'd like for you to notice in verse 9, because we're going to find out that during this time, many Christians are going to have to die for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. These scriptures in verse 9 and 10 also refute the false teaching of reincarnation and soul sleeping that's held by Seventh-day Adventists and also by Jehovah's Witnesses and a few others. But wherever they get these ideas, I have no idea whatsoever. God says that the wisdom of men is foolishness with God. And it just amazes me that man will try to come up and say we're reincarnated or we go to the grave and we sleep, and yet man's never been on the other side of death. He's never been there whatsoever. You have a few quackos saying, "Oh, I've seen a light at the end of the tunnel." Well, I don't find anything in the Bible about that whatsoever. That's a satanic delusion. You see the light in heaven when you're passed from death unto life, but this light in the tunnel is nothing more than satanic, trying to deceive you. "Oh, I had a peace." You had a false peace. The only peace that you have is trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." So if you're trying to find peace by the light at the end of the tunnel, you're satanically deceived, and you're going to wind up, and the only light you're going to see are the flames of hell when you wake up. And this is the kind of thing that, and the purpose why God put the Bible here, to separate the greatest deceiver that this world has ever known, and that is the Antichrist, old Satan himself, and his demons. But notice in verse 9, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for their testimony which they held." So we're told here that there are many that are going to die. But notice in verse 10, "And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" It doesn't sound to me much like they are in the grave, does it to you? I'd like for you to notice that following the false Christ, the war, the famine, and death, comes the fifth seal, the martyrdom. "And amid the turmoil on the world scene, the ungodly will grow in hatred against Christ. Instead of deploring sin as the cause of their trouble, their anger will be kindled at those who turn to Christ and who will now no longer cooperate with their humanistic endeavors and their ideologies." In other words, you don't go along with the program. And that program, if you didn't know it, that the Antichrist is going to implement is the one world religion. And you have that, and it's beginning to see. All you have to do is open your eyes and beginning to see that through the ecumenicalism, this is the down payment to brainwash you that no matter, lay aside Bible doctrines, it doesn't matter if one church says the preacher will get you to heaven because he will forgive your sins. You have another Bible-believing church that says that man's full of baloney, no beans from apple butter. The Bible never teaches that a man can forgive sins. Any man that can forgive sins, then why did Jesus Christ have to die on the cross? So you're trying to get all of these together that do not even believe the same thing, and what you have is a compromise on their principles, compromise on the Bible, and an endorsement of many false religions, just all trying to get together now, praising God. And let me just say this, you may talk about God all you want, but if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're just shadowboxing, you're throwing your words to the wind, because the Bible tells us in John, and Christ said, if you love the Father, you would love me. And when you do not hear about people talking about Jesus Christ as the Savior, Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father except through the Son. But where you hear people just talking about God and not the Son, then you find out that they're just religious, but they have never really put their faith in Jesus Christ, because Christ told those scribes and Pharisees, if you love the Father like you say you do, then why in the world do you reject me? If you love the Father, you would love me also, because I came from the Father. But there's where you find out the true from the false. So these Christians in the tribulation period don't go along with this. You have Christians today, good fundamental Bible-believing churches, that have nothing to do with this ecumenicalism. And I remember I stopped at one lady's house, it's been a couple of years ago, I guess, and I was going to invite her to church, which I did, and she said, well, do you cooperate with the ecumenical movement? And I said, absolutely not. Well, she didn't want to talk. And I said, you know what, if I can just throw something out to you, you know what, God condemns ecumenicalism. Do you know that? He does not condemn Christians that believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven and that you're saved by grace through faith. There are churches by various different names that teach exactly the same thing. I remember one time a lady, had went to Florida to visit her relatives. And she had went to a church that was not a Baptist church. And when she came home, she said, Pastor, I thought I was in my own church. And she said, he preached on the rapture. He was right straight down the line. I thought I was sitting right in our own church. And she gave me the name of the church, and that's a good Bible-believing church. And he gave an invitation that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. So you see, you have fellowship with those that believe the same thing, and they believe the Bible. And here she went clear down to Florida from her home church and found a church, preached exactly the same thing. I never met the pastor. I didn't know him at all. But isn't it wonderful that when you teach the Bible, you will agree? But the ecumenicalism is saying, well, come on, let's all get together. Even though we don't agree, we won't talk about it. Well, that's contrary to the Bible, because Christ wants you to talk about it. He wants you to lead other people to Christ. And you only go to heaven one way, so if you're not going to talk about it, what are you doing trying to play religion? What are you doing going along with the spirit of the Antichrist for the one world government and the ecumenicalism, and you don't want to talk about it? The only way to heaven, Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father except through the Son. If you're a Christian, a true born-again Christian, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, you want to talk about it to someone else. You want to tell them, because Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, if you're listening, aren't you glad that someone told you about Christ? Aren't you glad someone laid aside their pride or whatever it might be and was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Aren't you glad somebody opened the door and said, you know, I wonder if you're going to, let me ask you a question, are you going to heaven when you die? And to get you stimulated to think, to get your mind thinking. Here a while back, I went into a particular business place, and there was a young man in there, and he had an earring on. And I love to do this. I don't do it insulting at all, but I found out a couple of things. So I went in this lumber company, and I was getting some things, and a very nice young man, very nice-looking young man. He was going to college, and he just finished his freshman year. And I said to him, I said, he was cutting me my lumber at one, and I said, you know, can I ask you a question? And he said, yeah. I said, what do you got that earring in your ear for? Oh, he said, well, I like it. Well, I said, that's a good reason, but what other reason you have it? Well, he told me there's some of his buddies had it one thing. It amounted to that it was like following the leader. And then he came out and he said something. He said, well, the girls like it. And I said, oh, the girls like it. Well, he said, I got to be honest with you, a lot of girls that don't like it. So, but I had a lot of fun with him. I really did. And he was going to college, and I talked to him about if he would write down some questions on evolution, because he's going to get that trash in the liberal colleges. And but we had a very nice conversation. And you know what? Faith cometh by hearing. If you don't want to talk about the Lord, then there's something wrong. Either you don't know the Jesus Christ of the Bible, you're not saved, and you're just playing religion and wallowing in your self-righteousness and pretending when you go to church that, oh, I'm just a good person, and so forth. But if you have, through the ecumenicalism, you want to compromise, and this is what these churches do, this is what this whole movement is about, satanically backed to brainwash you to not talk about Jesus Christ as the only Savior, the only way to heaven, but just go there, be a nice person, and don't offend anybody. Well, I'll say this, Satan just laughs at you, and he knows that he's got you in his hooks when he has brainwashed you into that kind of humanistic philosophy. The Word of God says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The word preach means announce the gospel. Go in there in Matthew, the Great Commission, and make disciples out of men, and then have them baptized. Get them identified with the Lord. Get them not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But all of this movement is nothing more than a program of Satan that God prophesied that would take place because of God's permissive will. Now we come on down. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 8, hope you will just put your finger there and we go back and forth here. Jesus refers to the first four items as the beginning of sorrows. And therefore, he segregates these four from those that come later. And that is the fifth seal on. Likewise, Revelation 6 divides the first four seals from the others by putting them in their own category of horsemen. From this, the conclusion would seem to be that although the ills of Matthew chapter 24 and verses 4 to 9 are those which have more or less characterized all history, both before Christ and after Christ, nevertheless, here in Matthew chapter 24 and verses 4 to 9, and in the seals of Revelation chapter 6, the beginning of the tribulation period is described. Both join in declaring that an early phase of false prophets, war, famine, and death, will soon be followed by the making of Christian martyrs. And that's where we're at in verses 9 and 10. All of this will take place in the first 3.5 years of the period before the abomination and desolation is perpetrated and the persecution by the Antichrist is unleashed in all of its fury during the second 3.5 years. And we'll get those intensified judgments of God when we get on back as we travel on through this great book. But Revelation chapter 6, verse 11, confirms the fact that more martyrs will come later. I'd like for you to notice in chapter 6 and verse 11, let's go back here. And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest a little season until, get this now, their fellow servants also and their brethren should be killed as they were, and it should be fulfilled. Because you're going to have to give your life during this particular period of time. Now, while you're here, just hold your place and we'll show you where it talks about others going to die. Notice in Revelation chapter 12 in verse 11. Revelation chapter 12 in verse 11 says this, and they overcame him and by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. They had to die. They were willing to die for their Savior, the Lord Jesus. Go with me now to the 14th chapter, and let's notice here in verse 13. In verse 13 it says this, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, right blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Go with me to Revelation chapter 20. And what a gruesome sight this is going to be when the Antichrist, if you refuse the mark of the beast from the middle of the tribulation on, the last 3.5 years, then this is the kind of death you'll probably have to suffer. Notice Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4 and 5. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. The guillotine will be into effect for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, that's Satan, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, nor in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, you know, you have the same thing today. Do you know Peter talked about, he said, believe it, brethren, believe it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is going to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Now, we come on down and continue on here. And, you know, when you begin to see, and many of you are old enough to remember, and if not remember, at least read it in history and so forth, in our own generation, we've seen the wholesale death of Jews as more than 6 million perished under the Nazi regime. Maybe you're not old enough to remember that, but one thing about it is that you've read it in your history books, I would suppose. And for the most part, the world stood helplessly by, many in unbelief. It's been said that even many of the Jews, as they were being herded into boxcars, although warned of their fate, refused to believe that such an event would occur. Here in the fourth seal following famine, we see one-fourth of the population of the earth destroyed. If we went on the basis of our present population, this would mean that in a short span of time, almost 8 million people will die, or more. Whatever the exact figure, I don't know exactly, or if death only reigns over a quarter of the earth's land area, it will be a frightful toll. Today, as never before, one can see how such a catastrophe can easily occur, can we not? And you know what? To show you how much that the world hates Christians, clear back in the spring of 1970, we saw a sudden interest in our environment. Even the college students became aware that we were polluting our earth. Earth Day, which was instituted April the 22nd in 1970, it was set aside to discuss the issues and the possible solutions. The Environmental Handbook came out of a United Nations ESCO in their convention, and it was prepared by, quote, Friends of the Earth. That's what they were called. It was at this time and the same convention that Ufont praised Lenin as a great humanitarian and defender of liberty. What a joke. Ufont praising Lenin as a great humanitarian and defender of liberty. What the biggest joke. This is the kind of leadership that we see. Perverse to the Bible. You see, the Environmental Handbook makes, among other recommendations, the following. Number one, it says this. Nations must be phased out as quickly as possible. All go under one. Number two, Christianity bears a huge burden of guilt for ecological problems. In other words, we're going to blame the Christians for this. And then, to make a mockery out of Christians, number three, it says experimental living groups should construct their shelters from church windows. In other words, destroy the churches and use their materials and so forth. There's already a growing animosity towards the Bible and Christians. And in a coming day, those who refuse to accept the mark of the beast will be unable to buy food and will face starvation and possibly death. So we begin to see as we go back here, again, to Revelation here, in chapter 6 here, in verse 9 and 10. And let us get just a couple of other things here doctrinally, because you know when it comes to where you're going to go when you die, you know man has never been on the other side of death and then come back. And the Lord Jesus here, what I'm saying, yes, there have been some examples in the Bible, but they've not written about it. God has written about them. And he's told what's on the other side of death. And he says here in verse 9 and 10, and I'd like to read it again, because if you want to know where you go when you die, you're composed of three components. You're composed while you're living, but we're going to tell you what happens when you die. Death in the Bible only means separation. And you find out that the soul and spirit, the soul is the seat of your emotions and your appetites, and the spirit is the seat of your intelligence. And then you have a body. When I look at you, I see the body, but I don't see the real you. But God has given you a body to express the real you, to express yourself with. When you die, the only thing that dies is the body. James says, for as the body is dead without the spirit. So when the body dies, the spirit, your intelligence, the real you, your being, and your soul, the seat of your emotions and your appetites, your soul and spirit, which are never separated, the real you, essence of you, lives on. You're passed from death unto life, and that never goes to the grave, for the body is dead without the spirit. Without the spirit, the body cannot die. So when the body dies, the spirit and the soul leave that body, and they do not accompany that body into the grave, into a state of annihilation. The Bible tells us, as Paul was inspired to write by the Holy Spirit, he says, we are absent from the body and present with the Lord. The Lord on the cross in Luke 23:43, he told the thief, he said, today shall thou be with me in paradise. Well, surely the grave wasn't paradise, was it? Absolutely not. So the soul and spirit separated from the body, you see. And but the teaching that people would like to have, you know, today, well, you go to the grave. And then accompanied by that teaching is, if you're good, there's going to be a general resurrection, they say. And then if your good works outweigh your bad, and here we have a work salvation again, excluding Jesus Christ. Every damnable false religion excludes Christ. And you know what? When I meet somebody, I don't care if it's a Lutheran, a Methodist, Presbyterian, whatever it is, makes no difference to me, but I know this much. When I try to talk to them about Jesus Christ and they don't want to talk, you know what? They have religion, but they don't have Christ. And the Lord wants us to talk about the Lord, the wonderful things that He has done for us. And He says here in verse 9, "And when they opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for their testimony they held." Now they died, but notice where they're at now. John was up in heaven when he seen them, and he said, "And they cried with a loud voice." They had reasoning, saying, "How long, O Lord?" So see, their real essence, the seat of their emotions and their appetites, the spirit of their intelligence, was very much alive in heaven. And John heard them cry out and say, "How long will it be before you avenge our blood?" Now, in this church age that we live in today, we find out here that we are to pray for our enemies, but not in the tribulation period. Not in the tribulation period. And Christ in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, he said, you know, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." When Stephen in Acts chapter 7 and verse 60, he said, "Lay not this to their charge." And then Paul, when everybody forsook Paul, nobody stood with him. He was like a duck out of water. And he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16 and 17, you know what Paul said? Everybody forsook him. He said, "Don't lay this to their charge." Yes, we're to have that spirit now. But when the tribulation comes, the prayer will be, "Sick 'em, Lord, and give it to 'em." These God deniers, these atheists, these ones that have corrupted society and led their evolutionary trash into the minds of our children in grade school and in their science class and biology class, instead of creationism, instead of "we were created in 6 days the way God said," and you have churches that teach evolution. Did you know that? You ought to go to your pastor and ask him if he believes that God created heavens and the earth in 6 days and mankind, and see what he says. And don't take it for granted he does, because there are many of your liberal churches that do not, their pastors do not believe that God created man in 6 days. You ought to go there and find out. Well, I see our time has slipped away. We'll pick it up here and go on and finish the rest of the chapter here next week. But I'd like to ask you, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Is He your Savior? Do you know you're going to heaven when you die? Well, if He's your Savior, you can know that, and we hope that you'll do that. You should be able to say, "I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die, because Christ is my Savior." We thank you for joining with us today. We hope you'll take time to write us. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray, "Even so come, Lord Jesus."